Welcome to today's episode of Future of Tech, where we'll be exploring the potential future of the Canadian Helician Safety Institute, a newly announced initiative with a budget of $5 million. I'm your host, and I'll be you to the design and scope of this institute and learning, and Luria, and scope of Anoidstead, Ali Hubi, will be diving into the snick in the eitutots, in the parts, in the parts, in the podestots, and the
Wow, that sounds fascinating. I've always wondered how these AI safety institutes are going to work. Can you tell me a bit more about the Canadian AI Safety Institute and its potential role?
Absolutely, Sarah. To start, the Canadian TALADM Safety Institute is part of the government's broader strategy, which aims to make Canada a leader in the development and use of AI. The institute will focus on identifying and mitigating the risks associated with policy, as well as promoting its safe and responsible development. One key aspect of this initiative is its scope, which is still being...
That sounds a bit vague. What are some of the key areas that the Canadian AI Safety Institute might cover?
Well, we can look at the approaches taken by other countries. For guidance, the Holtze and David Lai engagement sample have taken a comprehensive and social and policy perspectives in their research on Horner risks. They've also made significant strides in international engagement through partnerships, funding opportunities, and knowledge exchange.
And that's really interesting. I had no idea that these institutes were working so closely together. What about the EU's approach? How does that differ?
Yes, the Jansrostek office has been tasked with shaping global standards on model evaluations, as well as monitoring, supervising, and enforcing the requirements of the recently enacted Boden OU Act. This gives them a strong regulatory role, but they're also committed to taking on research functions similar to their collaborative EU counterparts.
Wow, this sounds like a really strong regulatory framework. I can see why the EU has taken a leading role in this area.
I wonder if this could be related to the recent EU data protection regulation.
Actually, yes, that's a great point, Sarah. But ANGLETA is built on their existing data protection framework, which has been a model for other countries.
I see what you mean. That makes a lot of sense. What about the Canadian AI Safety Institute? How might it compare to these other approaches?
Well, given Canada's proposed national legislation, the Artificial Intelligence and Data Act, which follows an impact-based approach similar to the accolades, it's likely that the Canadian HSA will combine research and regulatory functions. This could be a key area for Canada to learn from and adapt from its counterparts.
That makes sense. So what are some potential implications of this approach? How might it shape the Canadian AI safety landscape?
Well, if the Canadian HSA is to conduct model evaluations, it will need to incentivize participation from large NIST companies, which can be a challenge. The challenge that has been criticized for its voluntary approach.
I see what you mean. That makes a lot of sense. And what about strategic partnerships? How might the Canadian AC engage with other government departments?
Yes, building a strong foundation for development in Canada will require strategic partnerships with various federal and provincial government departments. The Canadian NASA, I could partner with the HIST Standardization Collaborative under the Standardization Collaborative under the Standards Council of Canada, which is housed under the National Institute for Standards in the National Institute.
That's a great idea. And what about enforcement powers? Could the Canadian AISI benefit from having greater authority to ensure compliance with AI safety standards?
Exactly. Granting greater authority to the Canadian ASPOCBE could allow it to follow the example of the Human Creating Office and grant pre-market approval powers or compel companies to provide access to their WIM models in cases where they refuse to collaborate.
Well, that sounds like a really powerful regulatory tool. I can see why the EU has taken a strong stance on this. But what about the potential risks and challenges associated with granting greater authority to the Canadian AC?
Well, implementing new regulatory approaches, such as the creation of a national HOTEF registry, would be a key part of this process. It would require an iterative approach involving a phased maturity-based approach. and building out a network of strategic collaborations between the Canadian and ISLA and various governments.
That makes sense. So what are the key takeaways from this discussion? How might the Canadian AI Safety Institute design its scope, expertise, and authority to achieve its full potential?
Well, based on our discussion, it's clear that the Canadian Annual Safety Institute has a lot to learn from its counterparts in the head department and Dr. D. By incentivizing strategic partnerships and exploring greater authority, the Canadian reaches, I can ensure it delivers on its mandate and builds a strong foundation.
Thank you, Sarah, for joining me today to discuss the Canadian AI Safety Institute. Your insights have been invaluable, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate this detailed analysis.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to discuss this topic with you. I think this is a critical area for Canada to explore, and we can learn a lot from the approaches taken by other countries.
Absolutely. And finally, to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to discuss, please don't hesitate to reach out. We'd love to hear from you.
And don't forget to check out our next episode, where we'll be discussing the implications of Gyode on human dignitation.
That sounds like a really interesting topic. Looking forward to it.